Going to be reading out of the Old Testament this morning, out of a book that you don't normally hear people preach out of, other than you hear them talk about Ezekiel's wheel and all those things. So I'm going to be preaching from chapter 34, verses 1 through 16. The word of the Lord came to me, mortal, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, you shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the sheep. You have not strengthened the weak, you have not healed the sick, you have not bound up the injured, you have not brought back the strayed, you have not sought the lost, but with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and scattered they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep were scattered, they wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with no one to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, because my sheep have become a prey and my sheep have become food for all the wild animals, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and had not fed my sheep, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, I am against the shepherds, and I will demand my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths so that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the watercourses and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pastures. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture of the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. We talk about the Lord is my shepherd, and the first thing that comes to mind is Psalm 23. Everybody knows about Psalm 23. But there are many other places in the Bible where God talks about being our shepherd. And it's important that we understand that He is our shepherd. And we look at what I've just read in from a prophecy point of view. They could have been talking about Israel coming back together in 1947 or whatever it was after World War II and becoming a nation again. The Jewish people that were scattered about the world, mostly around Europe, came back home to Israel. God gathered His scattered sheep. And He continues to gather His scattered sheep even today as people are convinced to come back to church, people that need to be taken care of, if you will, are coming back into the fold. God wants to be the good shepherd. I don't know how much you know about sheep. I know the typical reputation of sheep is that they're not real smart. They're real weak and docile, and they have to have a shepherd to guide them to everything that they do. That is not necessarily the case. I think the sheep have gotten a bad rap about being docile and weak. I'm going to tell you a few stories here, and you'll kind of see what I'm talking about. There was an Egyptian man who had been pushed to his death from a three-story building by a sheep he was preparing to sacrifice. Apparently in Egypt, they raised some of their livestock on the roofs of their buildings, and he had been fattening this sheep for a while, and it was come time to sacrifice it. And I don't know if the sheep knew what was about to happen or if it was just an accident, but he butted the man and knocked him off the roof of that building, and they found him lying bleeding on the pavement. By the time they got him to the hospital, he passed away. Really kind of a strange story. Another story, kind of similar to that, another Egyptian man was shot in the chest and killed because one of his sheep bumped the gun that was laying next to him. We kind of hear some odd things. Research in New Zealand. New Zealand's known for having more sheep than people. And the shepherds in New Zealand often get injuries from their sheep, broken knees and ribs and different things from being butted by sheep. So sheep aren't as docile as you would think. There's a young lady who was parachuting. She successfully parachuted out of a plane from about 13,000 feet, landed on the ground just fine. But she landed in a pasture where there was sheep grazing. She scared them so bad that the sheep attacked her, and she walked away from there with bruises and broken bones. Sheep are not weak, docile, and they're not as dumb as people think they are. The sheep are smart enough where in one particular place at a grocery store, the sheep flock around in the parking lot because they know they'll get fed. They even so much as dig around in the trunks of people's cars while they're loading groceries in them. They steal the bread and different things, and apparently they really like ice cream, believe it or not. Sheep are not dumb. Sheep are pretty smart. They do rely on their shepherd for many things, protection for one, and for making sure that they get to good grazing land and different things like that. And that's how God wants to be with us. He wants to be our good shepherd. He wants to lead us to good things, lead us to being fed and housed and taken care of. He wants to be our shepherd and take care of us. And that's why Ezekiel writes, "For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out of the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel and the ravines and all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak." That is a very intimate relationship that he talks about between himself and the sheep. And even though he's using sheep as an illustration, he's really talking about the children of God. He's talking about us. He wants to have an intimate relationship with us. He wants to take care of us. He wants to provide for us and protect us. He really cares. God really cares about us as his children, sheep, if you will. There's a preacher that talks about when he was a young man, actually a very young man, in church, and he said there was this particular hallway in this big church that he was attending with his parents where they had the picture of Jesus holding the lamb, kind of like the picture that's in the bulletin. We've all seen that picture. And he said there's other lambs on this wall and ribbons connecting them. The pink ribbons went to the girls and the blue ribbons went to the boys, and they all had names of the children in the church. And he said that impressed him because he could feel the warmth of Jesus. He could feel how Jesus was taking care of all those sheep, those little children in that church. It impressed him so much that when he grew up, he became a preacher. And that is a perfect example of how God wants to shepherd us. Whether you say it's God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit, doesn't matter, because they all are one. They want to shepherd us. They want to take care of us. And of course, we all know Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He does not want you to do without. He wants to care for you in good times and bad times. In John 10, Jesus uses that same imagery, and he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In that same chapter, it says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And we do. We listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit or God or Jesus. We listen for that voice to help us in our daily lives, and we recognize that voice. Tell you how smart sheep are and how that relates to the actual shepherd sheep flock connection. There was a gentleman who was on a tour in Israel, and he was out in an agricultural area of Israel, and he noticed in the evening there was this big round fenced pen, and one of the shepherds led his sheep into this round pen and left them. Another shepherd came along and led his sheep into that same round pen and left them. A third shepherd came by and led his sheep into that pen, that protected area, and left them. And the guy is standing there thinking, something's wrong here. How are they going to know whose sheep are whose? Because they weren't branded, they weren't marked in any way. How are they going to separate them when they started to get them back out of there? So the next morning he got up early to kind of see what was going on, and he watched, and one of the shepherds came up, and the shepherd spoke, and the sheep started filing out to follow that shepherd. The next shepherd come by, and he spoke, and his sheep came filing out of that pen and followed him. Those sheep knew who their shepherd was. They knew the shepherd's voice, and they followed that voice. They knew he was the one that was going to take care of them. So they didn't need to be branded or marked in any way. They knew his voice, and he knew who his sheep were. He knew how many he had. And that's why Jesus uses that imagery, because those people in that day understood what he was talking about. And now you can kind of understand what Jesus was talking about. They hear my voice and know my voice, and I know their voice. It's kind of like when we were kids. And you really can't do that so much today. We worry about kids getting kidnapped and hurt and whatever. But when we were kids, we would wander all over the neighborhood. And when it came time to come home, Mom would step out the back door and holler our name. And if you didn't happen to be close enough to hear your name, one of the neighbors might have heard her holler and saw you. They would tell you your mom's calling you. See, we didn't need Twitter and Facebook and all those kinds of things. It just relayed around the neighborhood. And you knew to come home. You recognized your mother's voice. There's a guy named Dennis Covington who talks about his experience as a child, and his dad would come to get him. He wouldn't holler from the back door. There was a lake in this neighborhood where the children would go down and play on the beach. There was apparently a lot of little turtles and things, and they just had themselves a good time. Well, when it came time to come home, his dad would go down the alley and walk down this little gravel lane to get his son. Well, Dennis didn't even need to know that his dad was calling for him, because his dad didn't have to say anything. He recognized the sound of his footsteps in the gravel, and he knew, Dad was coming to get me. It's time to go home. So that's kind of another way of looking at how we recognize the voices of one another. We recognize our mother's voice or our dad's footsteps. We know who they are, and they know who we are. And just like the relationship we have with our moms and dads, that personal relationship, God wants that personal relationship with us. He wants to be that close to us. He wants you to recognize his voice when he calls to you. It's time to do something or time to come home. He will call us all someday to come home. He wants such an intimate relationship with us, the way Ezekiel talks about all this. And if you go back to the original translations, the word for Father, God, it could really be translated as Daddy, the way we look at it today. Most of us don't call or didn't call our fathers Father. We call them Daddy because we had that kind of a relationship with them. We have only one Father, that Father in heaven. So Ezekiel's trying to show us how our Father in heaven is just like that Daddy here on earth. It's a unique message of our Christian faith, how we see God as that personal person that watches over us. There was a young lady who was in China taking a little tour, and the tour guide took them into this building called the House of 10,000 Buddhas. And she relates that if you look around in this building, you could easily see where there might be 10,000 Buddhas in here. There was different shapes and sizes and pictures and little statues and all the different kinds of things. And she's looking around at all these various Buddhas and whatnot. And she asks the tour guide, she says, "Isn't there a Buddha for someone who really cares for us?" He didn't have an answer for that. But what you have to understand is Buddhism is not really a religion. People think of it as a religion. Buddhism is a philosophy. It's a philosophy on life. So in theory, you could be both a Buddhist and a Christian at the same time. Christian faith and Buddhist philosophy. But in Buddhism, and I'm not knocking Buddhism, there is no representation for that one individual, that one person who is like God, that takes care of us, watches over us. God cares about us so much that Jesus laid down his life for us. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He literally gave his life to save us, his sheep, his children, because God cares that much about us. There is no gap there between us and God. If there is, it's because you've moved, not because God's moved. God is always right there with us through the Holy Spirit, or however you personally communicate with God. He's always there. I'm sure most of you know the name Seabiscuit, a famous horse, but I bet you didn't know that Seabiscuit was raised up as kind of a training horse. He would run with the other horses that they were training to win races, and he had been trained and taught to lose so these other horses would have the confidence to know that they could win. Nobody ever really looked at Seabiscuit as a winning horse. Until one day a trainer noticed him and noticed how he was built and thought for sure he can win. He doesn't have to be a loser. So he took him aside and started training him. And you could kind of tell that he'd kind of been banged up in his life, being taught to be a loser. But he turned that around. And they even hired a jockey to ride him that was bigger than most. You know, you think of a jockey, you think of a little guy with that's real skinny and real lightweight. But they had a little bit bigger jockey on him, and he still won. God looks at us that way. If you think you're a loser, or if you think you're having problems or some depression in your life, God is there to let you know that even if you're banged up a little, your life's not going the way you want it to, he's not just going to toss you aside. He is going to train you to be a winner. Train you to do good things. Train you to be a Christian and think a lot of yourself so that you can help others, because you know God loves you and you want others to know how God loves you. So you express that to them, even if they may have a little bit of a banged up life. In Isaiah 61:1, the Bible tells us, "The Lord has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, of a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. He was talking about Jesus. Isaiah in the Old Testament was talking about Jesus coming to us and taking us away from our despair, our sorrows, our sins, laying down his life for us. He does it for all of us. He can do it for any of us, whether you're every Sunday Christian or an occasional Sunday Christian or whoever you are. God cares about you. He laid down his life for you. Even those out in the community that are unchurched, he laid down his life for all of us. And he hopes that all of us will come to him. And I think we all kind of hope that in a way. We hope our friends and neighbors will finally see the day where they know that they need God and God takes care of them. They become a child of the King. They become one of the fold, one of the sheep, if you will. It can happen to anyone, even the unchurched. You may wake up one morning and decide that God is talking to you and you hear his voice and you recognize that voice. So the message from Ezekiel is prophetic in a way, but it is also encouraging to let us know that God himself is our shepherd, that he will take care of us. He will provide for us. There's another place in the Bible where it talks about, he says, I will no longer rely on the ministers and so on. I'm talking about Pharisees and anyone who tries to shepherd the sheep. I will not rely on them anymore. I will write it on their heart. He came to a point where he knew that he couldn't trust mankind. He couldn't trust them to shepherd the flock, the ministers and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all those. So he said, I will personally take care of the flock. I will write it on your heart. I will watch over you. I will see that you are fed. I will take care of you. And that's great news for us. Whether you're Christian or whether you're out in the community, God wants to love you and take care of you. He wants that intimate, personal relationship with you because he laid down his life to make that happen. Amen.